you don't have to know much about American history to know the significance of July the 4th, 1776. That is when the Continental Congress gathered together and they passed what Americans would say is the most important resolution of their country. It's a Declaration of Independence, and I'm sure we're familiar with that. A key statement in the document reads like this, though. It says, "Resolved that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." And so this Declaration of Independence, it marked the birth of an independent nation. And the date has been marked as the birth of the United States. They celebrate it every year. We know it as its popular name, the 4th of July, or if you've seen the old movie Independence Day, they go by that. And I know it's an American example, but we as Canadians, we celebrate independence in our own lives, don't we? I mean, the first time mom and dad are willing to leave us at home when we're growing up, right? That's some independence. We get to be at home alone. And then when we go off to school and we're on our own, we're eating and making our own meals or finding meals, and we're doing school away from mom and dad, right? That's some independence. We celebrate that, don't we? And then there's some of us who celebrate independence when we're not working for someone. We start our own company and we work for ourselves. As Canadians, we celebrate that kind of independence. Well, this summer, we've been looking at passages of the Bible that have really changed our world. And with that, this morning, I'd like to look with you a bit at Proverbs chapter 3. I want to look at with you this passage in the opposite direction of independence. Because the two verses I really want to focus on this morning, verses 5 and 6, I believe they are verses of dependence. I believe as Christians, every day should be a day of dependence on God. The book of Proverbs, it's a wisdom book of literature. And in this book of Proverbs, God seeks to show us why we need to listen to his ways and his wisdom. And the first two chapters really explain that God has wisdom for all generations. God gives this book to us so that we can live the kind of life that God has designed us to live in this world. Wisdom is only found in God. It's not found anywhere else. And God's wisdom, it's available to everyone, everyone. True wisdom starts with wonder and awe of God. Not just facts, not just warm, fuzzy feelings. It's thinking deeply on God's ways, in his will, his word. And that's the Bible. That's God's truth for us. And in a world of endless noise, there is joy in resting in the truth that Jesus is our source of wisdom. He makes it possible for us to walk in wisdom, and wisdom leads us to find our safety and our security in Jesus for all of life and eternity. He is our strong tower. In the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we're told if you seek after wisdom like silver, you will find favor and success in sight of God and his people. And then the verses today we're going to focus on, God puts the how to follow through with that teaching. Let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we thank you for this time in your scriptures. We thank you for your word, God, that it instructs us, that guides us, teaches us, challenges us. Lord, may you bless our time as we are together here as your church studying your word today. May we learn something new from it, God. May we be encouraged from your words, God, today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the verses I'd like to focus on with you. Verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." And so having set the stage in the first four verses of this chapter of Proverbs, we're given now three commands coupled with a conditional promise, okay? So the three commands, trust the Lord, lean not on your understanding, and in all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, okay? And then the promise, he will make straight your paths. Let's start with the big item here, the fundamental issue of our lives. That's our relationship with God, our Creator. And a fundamental piece of that relationship is trust. It's trust. Another word for trust we often use in the church or talk about is faith, having faith in God. And both the word trust and the word faith, or another word that comes from the Hebrew, is the word rely or lean. They carry with them the picture of leaning on something for support, for physical support. One commentator I read said it gives a sense of casting yourself before God, feeling a sense of security, peace, and rest in God. Now, typically, we don't like to trust someone or something completely, don't we? Because it's frightening. What happens if it breaks? What happens if the person hurts us or leaves us or something fails? We're going to fall. We're going to get hurt. We'll get exposed. And so to trust something or someone completely, it's hard. Some people find it hard. Some people are not even interested in trusting in God. They've trusted people before. They've been hurt. They've been burned. They're not going to do that again. They trusted in someone. They got let down. Maybe you've done that. When those kinds of things happen, we think, I won't do that again. I'm not going to be made a fool again. But if I was to go around the room here, I think we would get a good sense that we all find it difficult to trust God. I mean, it's one thing to trust God in the big abstract things in life, like our salvation, our eternal destiny, right? We can't control that. So it's easy to say, okay, God, you got that. But what about the everyday things? What about things like when it comes to our children's safety? What about meeting the deadlines at work? What about our balancing our bank account? Or putting food on our table? Making sure we have a roof over our head? Or our car is fixed and working? How many times in life have you laid awake at night and eventually realized, man, I need to trust this to God? I've been in that situation this summer. There's a few things that were going on in my mind this summer, and spent a few nights laying awake, stewing and stressing about things. And thankfully, it's when God said, hey, Matt, you're not trusting me. What are you preaching on? And I had to say, yeah, you're right, God. I'm sorry. I need to trust you. It's hard. But God calls us to trust him. And God's shown us time and again in our lives how we can trust him. In our thinking, the word trust means to rely on and have confidence in. But the Hebrew word is stronger here. The word means to put our full weight on something. Put our full weight on God. To trust the Lord is to rest our whole weight upon him, depend on him completely. And God says here in his word to trust him with all of our heart. And trusting the Lord with all of our heart means to be confident in who God is, what he can do. Every trial you go through in life is really a new opportunity to learn this lesson of trusting God, to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. And the expression, all of your heart, means fully and completely, not competing alternatives. And again, believers, we have been tempted often to mix this kind of trust in God together with something else, right? For example, I'll trust in God and my bank account, or I'll trust in God and my future portfolio of stocks and stuff. I'm going to trust God plus my achievements or my strength, my health. I'll trust in God plus my smarts, my cleverness, my wit. There's all kinds of options, but that's the temptation. But God is actually calling us to trust him with all of our heart, meaning fully and completely, confidently. When this is written, the heart was understood to be the center of the being, of our being as humans. It's where everything was to stem from. And so to trust with your whole heart, what the author is saying here is that means everything in you needs to trust God completely. True wisdom leads us to fully trust God in all areas of our life. And this means we're both fully to believe in and have confidence in the powerful ability for God to care for us, for God to counsel us, for God to lead us, provide for us, direct us, and sustain us. And then we look at the rest of verse 5. We're not to rely on our own understanding. To lean means to rest upon something for support, Leaning is what we do when we walk with a cane or a walker or hold on to something because we're unsteady. We can also think of leaning against a tree, a stone, a wall when we're tired and we need a break. We're leaning on something when we're not strong enough to stand alone. And trusting God means not relying on our own wisdom, our own way of thinking, our own logic, our own understanding. We need to completely depend on God, which means we need to have zero dependency on our way of thinking and doing things in life. And let's admit it, we have a lot of ways we like to think that we're trusting God. I'm sure all of us at some point have said in church somewhere to someone, I'm trusting God. I trust in the Lord. I'm leaning on him. We like to say that, but do we? Are we actually doing it? We like to tell people we trust in God, but that means that we need to be not relying on what we think is right to do in any situation. We need to trust the Lord and do what he thinks is best. Do what God thinks is best. Trusting the Lord means we'll not listen to our own senses, what we see, what we feel. We'll listen to God. We're to trust God, not rely on our own understanding, our own methods when it comes to dating, sex, marriage, divorce. We must trust fully on God and not rely on our own way of thinking when it comes to anger, bitterness, selfishness, forgiveness. We must trust in God completely, believing that he will take care of us and not depend on ourselves. We must trust in God and give of ourselves sacrificially to God and others around us, not relying on ourselves. To not lean or depend on your own understanding is written here as to a child from a parent. It's like saying, hey, trust me completely. Your understanding is a lot less than what you think. You're more limited in what you know. Trust me completely. That's what God's saying to us. And this is not, please hear me, it's not a call to abandon thought, intellect, or growth, to close off our minds. That's not what God's calling us to here. But it is an honest admission that we need God and we need his counsel. The temptation we all face is to think we know it all. And we even maybe verbally say that. This, as I was preparing to share this, I read this from a preacher. He said, the enemy of genuine trust in God is self-reliance. Let me say that again. The enemy of genuine trust in God is self-reliance. We so often run to the idol self, don't we? We trust in ourselves to do anything and everything, and oftentimes, it's only when things get tough do we then say, oh, I should be praying about this. I should have gone to God about this first. Remember how the Israelites in the Old Testament, when they neared the Promised Land, if you know the story, they were coming to the Promised Land and Moses sends out 12 men to go into the Promised Land that they were going to be going into to check it out, to see what the land's like, to see what the people were like. And 10 of those 12 spies, they came back with a report like, hey guys, the land is good. It's great. But there's a problem. There's a problem. We're going to lose. We're going to be in trouble. And 2 of the 12 came back. And they said, let's go. God's got this. Let's go. And Israel should have trusted confidently in God's power to provide for them. But instead, what they do, they looked at the walled cities, they looked at the mighty warriors, they looked within and they said, we can't do it. We can't do it. They were only trusting in themselves. They didn't think they had it in them. And so they turned away from what God had actually called them to do. They didn't trust in God. And this is where we need to evaluate our own lives. Are we like the Israelites, leaning on our own understanding, our own strength? Are we trusting God completely? Are we looking to God for everything? Again and again through the history of Israel, God has given the people the same lesson with the same question, asking, will you trust me? And God asks you and I the same question. Will you trust me? Or will you lean on your own selves? And as I said earlier, there are many false trusts that we can have. People can rely on their physical strength, their personal wisdom. They can rely on their material wealth, rely on technology or other idols. What are you leaning on during times of trial? What are you leaning on in good times? Is it God? Because if it's not, anything else will ultimately fail. It needs to be God. And the passage also tells us that we need to acknowledge him. Basically, in all your ways, know him. The verse speaks to our daily relationship with our Lord. In all your ways, it refers to how you daily live life in view of Christ. And the word way is a Hebrew metaphor for just daily life, daily patterns of life, and what you choose to take in life, the paths. To know the Lord means to have a deep, growing covenant relationship with him. It's to see his hand in all aspects of your life, to see his authority ruling over everything, to see God's sovereignty, to know that he is in control. It includes us desiring to see his attributes. And that's why we study God's word and study about Jesus Christ, so we can get to know his power, get to know his compassion, get to know his mercy, his infinite mercy, his unchanging nature. And the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In all your ways, know him, study him, yes, but know him deeply and richly as in a covenant relationship. Living this out is listening and obeying to God in every decision we make. Listen to him and not ourselves in every path we take. That we'll not listen to ourselves and then check with God later. No, go to God first. Look to God for every direction. And one of these key words here in this passage is the word acknowledge. And I think what Solomon, when writing the word acknowledge God here, I think he means simply we need to acknowledge that God is God. And this really does stand in contrast to leaning on your own understanding, acknowledging God. And so as you live your life, who will you turn to? Who's the authoritative expert on all things for you? The passage here calls us to acknowledge God as the authoritative expert in all things, us and life in this world. In every area of our life, we need to be looking to God as the authoritative expert. In every moment, every obligation, every opportunity, every relationship, every decision, every conversation and purchase, in all your ways, God is the authoritative expert. Not your Google reviews. God is the authoritative expert. And the question then is, do you believe that? Do you acknowledge God as such? Because we need to. And so we have these three commands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust God with confidence. Trust him completely. Lean not on your understanding. Don't rely on yourself or anything yourself. Don't rely on any idol. Don't rely on anything but God. And then in all of your daily life, in all your practical ins and outs, seek to know and acknowledge God. Those are the three conditions. And if you meet those, God makes you the promise that he will direct your paths. Literally, make your paths straight. I don't know about you, but I love driving. And if you imagine driving along a road, and it appears to be all of a sudden impassable, okay? The road you're driving on seems to be winding around mountains, and it's going up and down and into swamps, and seems to have 1,000 switchbacks. And you're like, where is this road taking me? And as you travel on, you discover portions of the road are washed out. Others are filled with potholes. We're used to that around here. Others are still blocked with boulders. In some places, the road apparently even becomes just a dead end. And you're like, what do I do now? This is the road of your life. And as you look at it, it appears to be covered with boulders and rocks. Some parts are filled with potholes. Some sections go nowhere. But that's the way life is. But God's message to us is if you will know God in every area of your life, he will make your way straight. He will remove the obstacles if they need to be removed. He will fill the potholes if they need to be filled. He will redirect the detour so that what seemed to be a dead end actually turns out to be the shortest way to your destination. All you have to do is trust in the Lord, lean completely on him, and acknowledge him in everything. Don't lean on your human understanding. In all your ways, know God. He will take the path of your life that seems to go up and down, around and around, curving backwards and dead end, and he will make it straight. He will accomplish his purposes in your life. And that's the promise of God to each one of us. And that's a great promise. And in Proverbs, the word straight way really means to recognize that God's wisdom and our need for it in life. It's the way of blessing. The straight way is the way of God's blessing. And so when you acknowledge God as the authoritative expert in your life, He will guide you down the best way in all aspects of your life. God will guide you if you depend on him and not your own way of thinking. Acknowledging God as the authoritative expert should always lead us back to the Bible, to him. And God's word has a lot to say for us. It teaches us a lot. It guides us. It challenges us. God's word has something to say about every part of your life. Have you ever wondered or wanted expert advice on something? Be it relationships, finances, your career, your feelings, your struggles, your conflicts and challenges. Maybe we wanted some wisdom on love or belonging, guilt, forgiveness, right and wrong, the meaning of life. Look no further than God's word. God's word will teach you and direct you in every aspect of life. The world has plenty to say about all these things and more. But if we begin there, we will be leaning on our own understanding. And I will tell you, it will fail. God's word is to be the starting and ending point at all times, at all parts of our lives. So look to God, look to his word, and may we daily live lives of dependence on God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for how you teach us so much in your scriptures. And God, may we trust you. May we trust you with all our heart, with everything that's in us, God. And help us to not lean on our own understanding, but to look to you at all aspects, at every turning point, every question, every situation that comes our way, God. May we lean on you. And may we acknowledge you daily, God. Your greatness, your awesomeness, your glory. And God, may we then receive that promise from you, of you making our path straight. And Lord, all this, you promise us. And you teach us in your word. And God, as we come to the table of communion now, in this time of communion in our service, we are so thankful, God, for, again, what you've done for us, Jesus, and going to the cross for us. And we're so thankful, God, that we can look to you in your scriptures, and we know that you fulfill your promises. You do what you'll say, God. You're a God who's always there, day in and day out, every moment with us, walking with us, so we are never alone. And your going to the cross helps us that we can receive the gift of salvation, that we can know these truths and we can live these truths and proclaim these truths, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you for this truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.